manifest itself in truth and in goodness.
Local.
The challenges that we're facing in our generation, we just need the gospel. I mean, every culture, every generation just needs to know how the gospel applies.
Engaging.
We don't bring any life at all to the church. The church is the life, so gives us the life.
Live.
The reality is, He is all things beautiful, capital B. And so anything that is authentically beautiful draws us, even if we don't realize it, to God.
Good Wednesday morning to you out there in Real Presence Radio Land. It is good to be with you this morning for another edition of Real Presence Live. I'm one of your hosts this morning, Brandon Clark, joined by
Steve Sponskowski.
And we have a really good show lined up for you. We're going to go through a little bit of a preview, but first, Steve, do you mind opening us up in prayer?
Sure, absolutely. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Dear Lord, we ask you to fill this space with your Holy Spirit. And as we commemorate the great example of St. Joseph the Worker, we ask that our works might give you glory and draw others into a relationship and an encounter with you, Lord, so that we can set the world on fire with your Holy Spirit and with your grace. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. And thank you to everybody for tuning in this morning for our couple hours here on Real Presence Live. As I mentioned, we've got a really good lineup for you this morning. We'll introduce Bishop Donald DeGroote here in just a moment. We're going to be talking with him about the big event coming up in Bemidji, the Star of the North Eucharistic Congress. And that is coming up in just a couple weeks, actually. We'll talk more about that. And then we're going to have Monsignor Joseph Guerin, who is the rector of the cathedral in Fargo. And he'll talk about the challenge of adding silence and prayer and how we can overcome some of those obstacles. Also talking about the upcoming Men's Silent Retreat at Maryvale Retreat Center. I believe that's in June, correct?
Yep,
Steve.
June 21st through the 23rd.
June 21st through the 23rd. So stay tuned for that. And then we welcome our good friend Brad Gray in for our monthly gospel roundtable at the top of the next hour, reflecting on today's gospel where Jesus is talking about being the vine and how we are the branches. So there'll be a lot of reflections. And then our last segment, we're going to kick Steve out of the studio. No, I'm
That's
just
fine.
Kidding about that.
You can. I will willingly go.
We've got a couple of gentlemen who are going to share their thoughts and reflections on the third synod of the Diocese of Fargo that happened mid-April, just a couple weeks ago. Steve, of course, is heading up the efforts to carry out the synod and then carry out the aftermath of
implementation.
The synod as well.
Implementation. Let's not call it an
there
aftermath.
Aftermath.
That sounds like a battle.
Is that a bad thing?
The aftermath. You know, yeah, implementation. And so it was a great event, and I'm excited to hear the conversation there.
Absolutely. So stay tuned for the next couple hours as we bring you all of these wonderful guests. And as I mentioned, our first guest this morning is Bishop Donald DeGroote of the Diocese of Sioux Falls. And let's go ahead and welcome him in. Good morning, Bishop.
Good morning. Hope you both are well and all the listeners as well.
Yes, we're doing very well. Thank you. And hope everything is going well in Sioux Falls for you. I am curious. Today is the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker, and the cathedral in Sioux Falls is named after St. Joseph. So do you mind, as we begin, just talking a little bit about St. Joseph and what he means to you?
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. We are so very blessed. This is our patronal feast day as a diocese, St. Joseph the Worker. And what does it mean for us? As we know, so many of us in the Midwest, that labor is such an important part of our lives. And we remember St. Joseph and his humble labors as a carpenter and teaching Jesus, of course, and the lifestyle that he chose. And what we learned, many, many, many things from St. Joseph, one of which is his profound humility. So doing the labor of even manual labor type things like carpentry, but laboring in love for the Lord, for our Blessed Mother Mary, and for God. So what we see in St. Joseph is just such a beautiful, beautiful witness of humble disposition to God's will, and then responding accordingly. And that's what we see even in the scriptures when the few references that come up around Joseph, but how impactful he is and how he responds to God's grace lives out of that place of humility. And of course, that's part of why he's such an important and powerful saint, is because of humility. And in that humility, which is the foundation of the spiritual life, God, of course, does amazing things, and often in very hidden ways, as much of his life is, at least from scriptures. So today is a beautiful day for us. It's my favorite time of the year, Easter, spring, and now we have St. Joseph. St. Joseph has become really a beautiful gift since I've been named bishop here, knowing he is our patron of the diocese and certainly our cathedral. And so I've just relied a lot on him, and just I've enjoyed spending time getting to know him better and to just ask for his intercession and grow in friendship with him.
The other thing I love about this day is it begins the month of May, which is the month dedicated to Our Lady. And so I don't think it's a coincidence that we celebrate both St. Joseph and the first day of the month dedicated to Our Lady on the same day. Can you just speak for a moment about the holiness of marriage, and as we look at the Holy Family as an example for that?
Oh, wow. Great point. Yeah. You know, our Blessed Mother Mary, she, when we talk about humility, kind of like St. Joseph was earlier, of course, she was highly favored by God, as we know from the scriptures. And God chose her, a very humble young woman, to become the very perfect temple, if you will, where the Holy Spirit, when she said yes, would come upon her. And then, of course, within her womb would be the God child, right? So God, but as a child in the womb of Mary, who became our Savior, of course. So in that beautiful relationship we see of Mary and Joseph, we see their humble disposition to God's will and everything that happened. Even when, for example, Joseph, when Jesus, you know, when he wandered off, right, when they're going to the temple to worship, and all of a sudden, where is Jesus? Well, he's in the temple teaching. So we see the ups and downs, the joys, the sorrows, if you will, of married life, even played out in their lives. And the sort of sorrow, for example, Mary would have suffered, and the hardships Joseph would have suffered. But we see their faithfulness. And I think that's the thing for us to remember, their humility and their faithfulness to God. And they allow whatever happened in their life, both the graces and the trials, to become opportunities to know, to love, to serve God, and to serve others. So those two coming together, dying to themselves, to the Lord, and in that, their marriage, of course, being holy, and then the tremendous fruitfulness of their marriage. And so the call for marriages is really to grow in that humility and that faithfulness to the Lord and be willing to enter into the sacrificial love that it requires, because marriage is not easy, but it can be very, very grace-filled. And Mary and Joseph are great ones to intercede for married couples and for all of us.
If you're just joining us, this is Real Presence Live. We're visiting with Bishop Donald DeGroot of the Diocese of Sioux Falls. And let's just get a little personal here. Bishop, tell us, could you share with us your favorite quote from some St. Joseph, just the favorite quote that you have from St. Joseph?
Oh, boy, you're catching me on a good one here. I have to think about that. You know, I'm just going to, I actually, believe it or not, I think it's actually in his silence in the scriptures, which speaks profoundly.
No, you're absolutely right.
In other words, it's his humility, his silence. He was like, you know, the servant of the Lord in a very humble, hidden way. And that speaks volumes to me, like so many of the good people in the Midwest, other parts of our country and world, who really live in a beautiful humility, but great faithfulness to the Lord.
I was just messing with you a little bit, Bishop, there, so I apologize. But you're right, absolutely. There are no quotes. We have zero quotes from St. Joseph. And yet he has such a huge impact on our lives. Just a great, great gift, and in many ways, right? And this is something I'm learning, studying for the diaconate here in the Diocese of Fargo, and really looking at everything that's told us about St. Joseph, and even all of the teachings of the Church on Mary, really focus on the divinity of Christ. It's all about the divinity of Christ. It all goes back to the divinity of Christ. What do we believe about St. Joseph? What do we believe about Mary? It's all based upon the divinity of Christ. Everything is focused on him, and that's what St. Joseph and Mary really want us to focus on, is our relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, and you remind me, it's really the hidden life of Nazareth, right?
Yeah.
So it's that hidden life, but it's in hidden communion with God. So it's not a hidden life like I'm running from the world. It's actually in that hidden, humble life, but in the Lord. and spending that time with the Lord. And that's where the communion of life and love is. And that's why their lives were so fruitful spiritually.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as we think about focus on the Lord, we can turn our attention to this Eucharistic revival that has been playing out over the past 3 years. Of course, it's going to culminate in the National Eucharistic Congress in July in Indianapolis. How has this been playing out in your diocese specifically, Bishop?
Yeah, great question. So we've done a variety of things from the diocese and just to really communicate with the pastors and the faithful around the diocese on the Eucharistic revival, certainly things in our communications as well. What we're really encouraging to all of our parishes to do is to discern within their parishes, like to inspire, encourage them, ask them to really pray and discern how it is that the Lord's desiring the Eucharistic revival within their grouping of parishes and with their individual parishes and with their pastor and lay leaders. So it's really been trying to kind of encourage people to step into it. We purchased some tickets, the diocese did, and so very much looking forward to having our folks go to the Eucharistic Congress coming up, which is very, very, very exciting to us. And myself, really looking forward to being both at the Star of the North Eucharistic Revival, which will be coming up very soon, and then at the national one as well. So just really trying to, for me, it's been largely trying to lead through prayer, encouragement through our various means of communications, and then the pastors working with all the lay people to really discern what does that look like within each parish and parish grouping.
You know, just feeding off of that, Bishop DeGroot, also, the Diocese of Fargo, we just finished up our Synod Assembly. And, you know, there's such a power in the faithful coming together. And sometimes you're thinking, well, what is this going to be like? You know, we got all the details of this and that and meals and all these things going on. And yet there's such a power of the Holy Spirit when the assembly comes together, when the church gathers, that there's such a gift that comes from that. And these gatherings sometimes like, oh yeah, you guys are just doing another event. Well, it's really not about the event. It's about the church coming together and praying together. Can you speak into that a little bit?
Yeah, it's really, it's the communion of love and life, right? So if we understand the Eucharist, which is, of course, Thanksgiving, the word itself, but it's really the people come, right? So we know all the way from Old Testament times, keep holy the Sabbath. We know Christ's institution of the Holy Eucharist, right? Do this in memory of me. So the call for us to gather, and it's not so much even about us, it's about how do we give glory to God? How do we enter into the communion with God? And from that, then the communion of love in our relationship happens. And that's where the animation of the Holy Spirit. So it happens not only individually within our hearts, but as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, and as we gather for various events and pray together, then it's the communion of life and love, whatever that particular event might be. But I'm just using the Eucharist as one example.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. And we have this call to gather coming up, as you mentioned, the Star of the North Eucharistic Congress. It's May 17th and 18th. We only have about a minute, but we can continue this conversation on the other side of the break. Talk about the encouragement to attend this Congress in Bemidji, Bishop.
Yeah, I think it's like so many things. You know, we live in a world today where there's so many opportunities, so many things going on, but it's really important in our lives that we stop and we thought, what are the most important things? And so this, the U.S. bishops, when this was brought forward and the prayerful discernment, the decision to move forward with it, it's really to help heighten the awareness and for all of us to gather as faithful from various parts of our whole country, of course. And then we're starting off in four different parts, one of which is we get to be a part of the one closest to us, which, of course, will be the Itasca State Park.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're just tuning in, this is Real Presence Live, and you're hearing the voice of Bishop Donald DeGroote, the Bishop of the Diocese of Sioux Falls. We do need to step away for a quick break, but stay with us because we're going to pick up our conversation talking about Star of the North and specifically talking about what happens if you're in the listening area and you're not able to make it to this or the National Eucharistic Congress. What can you and your family do? Bishop will have some suggestions on that. So stay with us. Real Presence Live will be right back.
Stay with us. There's more Real Presence Live to come on the Real Presence Radio Network. Searching for more great Catholic content? Visit our website at realpresenceradio.com. Find Catholic news you can trust, information about events coming up in the local area, and the latest on what's happening at the RPR Network. And don't forget that you can listen to any of our stations around the clock from anywhere in the world. Need prayers for someone or something in your life? You can submit those through our online form for the entire family to pray for. Real Presence Radio, your family of faith and hope. Online at realpresenceradio.com.
This is Father Bo Braun from the Diocese of Duluth. It's my second year anniversary as a priest today, so I figured it's a good time to talk a little bit about priesthood and my favorite part about being a priest. You know, it's intense because you just think about where the priest stands. The priest stands, he stands in the place of Jesus Christ. He stands in between the people and God. And that place is there's an intensity of life and there's an intensity of love there. And, you know, I was thinking about I think the best times as a priest are those moments where God lets you feel that intensity. You know, so the Mass, I would say, is the highest point, obviously, because in the Mass, it's the most intense prayer from the Son to the Father, and I'm caught up in the middle of that. But yet, I give all of that love then to the people, and all through my ordinary and very little heart.
What if you could earn a degree that offers the best of both worlds, an MBA and a master's degree in philosophy? The University of Mary offers one degree that combines world-class business training with a careful study of life's deepest questions through their combined MBA, MA, and philosophy program. By earning one degree in both philosophy and business online, you will rigorously engage the big ideas needed to address professional challenges. Visit CatholicProfessional.life.
You're listening to Real Presence Live. Now, back to more inspirational and uplifting stories and a look at the extraordinary things happening in our local area. Heard right here on the RPR Network.
Thanks for staying with us as we continue our conversation this morning with Bishop Donald DeGroot of the Diocese of Sioux Falls, talking about the upcoming Star of the North Eucharistic Congress in Bemidji, Minnesota. That is May 17th and 18th. Before the break, we were talking with Bishop DeGroot about his encouragement for attending this, and we had to step away for a break. So, Bishop, first of all, thanks for staying with us over the break. And secondly, do you want to just continue to share any thoughts that you had about attending the Eucharistic Congress and the importance of a regional congress like this?
Yeah, so certainly encourage individuals, families, it could be, women's groups, men's groups, whatever, however people desire to do it. But one of the beautiful things we learn in, like, journeys is just the beautiful things that happen even as we travel together, as we make our way, if you will, on pilgrimage. So the praying before, the experience of reflecting upon and praying afterwards is really an important thing. And if people aren't able to attend, you know, we certainly understand there'd be health limits, there can be other things that limit people's capacity. But there's still many ways to participate. One, and the most important, would be to just pray. Just pray for the Congress, for just a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that there would be a true and deep Eucharistic revival, meaning this really deep interior experience of the Holy Eucharist, what it actually is. It's the real presence, the body and blood of Jesus himself. And so how important it is that there's, like, do we realize what we have? And then sharing this every Sunday, whenever we get the opportunity, certainly Holy Days. So the invitation is, if people can't go, to pray for it. There's ways you can sponsor, assist to the Eucharistic Congress through sponsorship. Certainly get educated on it. So it's wonderful. There's great website resources of the National Eucharistic Congress, and even on the Star of the North Eucharistic Congress. So getting most of all, praying, getting educated, discern in the Lord. If you want to be a sponsor, if that's what the Lord's calling you to, follow the journey as it goes. And there will be, be able to watch what's going on even as it goes on and pray for those who are participating.
Absolutely. I think there's so many ways, and I think is a great point, Bishop DeGroote, that to really enter in the way that you can. Enter into with prayer, or if you can attend either the Star of the North or the National Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis. What great opportunity to come together as a church and to pray. I know here in Fargo, there's a couple of buses going up to the Star of North, and going to walk part of that trail. And, of course, checking that out on your website, your diocesan website, and seeing maybe you can travel somewhere and just walk a portion with our Lord in the Eucharist. Whatever you can do, again, just to really be a part of this Eucharistic revival, such a great opportunity.
And I think, Bishop, we're in a really an historic time as we think about the National Eucharistic Congress, but then we look at the National Eucharistic Pilgrimage, and we have a blessing of having one of the four starting points of the National Eucharistic Pilgrimage in our area that's going to take place at Itasca State Park, which is the headwaters of the Mississippi River. Now, I'm sure people are coming from all around the area. Can you just talk about the specialness of being able to have something like this in our region?
Yeah, when you think about the four points, and when we look at it from the big perspective, from the Eucharistic Congress, what do those four corners, if you will, from the north, south, east, west, the whole intent is it makes a cross, right, over our whole country. We need God's grace, and we know that it's going to require sacrificial love. We are so blessed to have something start so close to us. And I think it's important, too, to know that the Marian route, the purpose of that is, as part of it, it's named for because there's a visit to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Champion in Wisconsin. So it's the first and only approved Marian apparition site in the United States. So with Mary's presence so close, Mary's close connection, of course, to the Christ child and to our Eucharistic Lord and the desire to help us grow in our interior communion, to think that we get to be a part of this on Pentecost, right? When we're praying for the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, right? Yeah. For what? Well, one, it's just a great renewal of the reality for people to enter into the gift of the Holy Eucharist. And so how blessed we are to have that starting in our own area so we can travel, as you mentioned beautifully, join in whatever part you can. But I think it's important to remember why. Why the Marian route? Why that name? Well, the National Shrine of Our Lady of Champion in Wisconsin. And so we're blessed to kind of have, it's so well planned. Bishop Cousins and that whole team that did such a wonderful, wonderful job preparing all of that, not just the Marian one, but the National Eucharistic Congress. We're so blessed to have, even within our area, Bishop Cousins, who led this effort with the help of many others on the national level.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that just dawned on me, actually, is we call this Congress in Bemidji called the Star of the North, and Minnesota really is considered the Star of the North. They used to have a hockey team, a national hockey team called the Minnesota North Stars. And what dawned on me in considering this to be the Marian route because of the stop in Champion was that Our Lady of Guadalupe was the star of the new evangelization. So it seems very fitting to me that part of this Eucharistic pilgrimage begins in Minnesota, the Star of the North, and recognizing Our Lady has a deep and a profound impact on this journey.
Great insight, indeed.
Bishop DeGroote, you know, I'm thinking about some of the works of the church where we, you know, talking about just gathering together, going on pilgrimage, doing a Eucharistic procession, those kind of things. They all seem like, you know, from maybe a utilitarian view, or we're a lot of farmers in this area. We're like, oh, what are you really accomplishing? You're just walking around. There's a lot of symbolism in the work that we do in the church, and it kind of makes me think of the sacraments, right? They're an effective sign that gives grace instituted by Christ. There's something about this, the importance of symbolism in the church that really has, there's a sacramental reality to all the work that we do. Can we talk a little bit, like the people are thinking of saying, okay, Bishop, I got work to do. I don't have time to come and go on a walk with you. What are you really accomplishing? Can you enter into that a little bit and kind of open our minds up to the importance of this symbolism in the church that we're doing with pilgrimage and Eucharistic procession?
Yeah, it kind of goes back to that point we were making earlier about, you know, the communion of life and love. It's in relationship with the Lord, and we can be in various parts. And even if, you know, as you mentioned so beautifully, whether it's farmers or others that aren't able to be at the event itself, I think of, when you talk about like symbolism, we think of how, even for example, in the monastic traditions, so when they were laboring in their fields and whatever their work was the day, they would leave a spirit of recollection. They'd really strive to be in communion with the Lord throughout the day. And so, for example, I find even for myself, and we'd see in the monastic traditions, where they would sometimes just be praying, walking outside, right? So doing their rosary, going for a walk. There's something really powerful about Eucharistic processions and praying the rosary, for example, when you're on a procession. So we're praying as a community of faith. We're walking on a journey. We are on a pilgrimage. And the importance of remembering pilgrimage is, where's our pilgrimage leading to? Ultimately to heaven. But there's touch points along the way as we make our journey. And so this Eucharistic revival and these Marian routes are really to enter in with people from around various parts of the area, where it's not just our own local community, our own individuals, but we gather as people from various parts. We take time to stop and to invest time, energy, learning, praying, and entering into whatever way that we are able to, so that we don't just like pass it by like so many things in the world today. So I think it's important to remember that there's a purpose to taking walks, processions, pilgrimages. We're on the journey to heaven, and there's something about walking and praying and being together and letting that beautiful spontaneity of relationships, when we're together, just really enliven us and let the Holy Spirit. It's like the two men on the road to Emmaus, right? They're walking along, and all of a sudden Christ appears to them in a very beautiful way, because they're in a spirit of recollection, reflecting back on what happened. And they were disappointed that Christ was crucified, and they thought he was a savior, and then Christ comes and reveals things to them while they were walking. So there's beautiful times and ways that the Lord relates to us in times of pilgrimage.
I think it's a great reminder. It makes me think of St. Benedict and his motto, Ora et Labora, you know, prayer and work. In that sense of, That's such a great image there, Bishop, of the road to Emmaus, because these guys were walking. They were doing, to a degree, a work. We don't know why they were walking. They were walking, you know, to Emmaus for some reason, and that work suddenly became sanctified by the presence of Jesus and their interaction with him, and he opens the scriptures to them, and then he is revealed to them in the breaking of the bread. Such a great reminder in our lives how we are sometimes walking on a journey, and we should always enter into a relationship with the Lord, because then that work that we do, that mundane work, actually has a spiritual value to it, has a deeper value to it, because the Lord sanctifies it when we enter into relationship with him.
Yeah. Imagine, you know, even Mary and Joseph, you know, walking to Egypt, and how the Lord was with them and through all of that and their ups and downs. And so it's that inviting the Lord into the journey of our lives and remembering the purpose of our lives is a journey to heaven and helping others on the way. So it's not all just about us. The actual reality is it should inspire us to share the good news of the gospel.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's often what happens.
About a minute left here, Bishop. You briefly mentioned it, but I want to give a little bit more time for this. For those who are not able to attend the Eucharistic Congress, either at a national level or the regional level, or be a part of this pilgrimage, what are some of those things that the families listening can do?
Yeah, I think even developing, if they're not able to attend, first of all, being really, really educated. So go to the websites in the local Eucharistic or Marian routes, as well as the National Eucharistic Congress. So to first of all become educated to pray, and then when they are able to watch parts of it, certainly pray for those who are, on this pilgrimage. So again, remember, we're brothers and sisters in the Lord on the pilgrimage to heaven. So even if we can't be at the location, we are and can be with them spiritually by intentionally entering into time of prayer, time of reflection, seeing how things are going on the journey, hearing what's happening on the journey. And you could even develop little traditions when this is going on within your family life, or if you're in a nursing home, or whatever your status of life is, to enter into the journey in ways that you can, in a very practical way, in your own family or your own, if you're at home or nursing homes, just to be engaged, take the journey with us. and spiritually and very intentionally.
That's beautiful. Bishop, thank you so much for your time this morning, for joining us and sharing all of your wonderful insight.
Happy to do it. Hope you guys are blessed today, and especially on this great day as we honor St. Joseph, and as you said so beautifully, we honor Blessed Mother on this this May Day too.
Absolutely. God bless you. Well, up next on Real Presence Live, if you found it challenging to be silent or slow down your mind while praying, you're certainly not alone. We're going to talk about some of the ways you can overcome these barriers and share an opportunity specifically for you men listening to have a weekend away and engage in some of that listening time with the Lord. Monsignor Guerin of the Diocese of Fargo joins us next as Real Presence Live continues.
Live, engaging, and local. This is Real Presence Live, where we bring you positive and uplifting stories and share the great things happening in our local area on the Real Presence Radio Network. Did you know you can listen to the RPR Network when you're on the go? Just search for Real Presence Radio in your app store. Listen live to any station across the network at any time, so you can stay connected to your local community from wherever you are. Plus, if you miss a program, the Real Presence Radio app is your one-stop shop for local and national podcasts, including our signature show, Real Presence Live. The Real Presence Radio app, with you every step of your faith journey. Download it today and see what you've been missing.
Hello, this is Mike Kidrowski, Director of Advancement for Real Presence Radio. Have you considered combining a current gift with a planned gift to increase your impact and achieve your goals? Blended gifts enable you to help us in more ways than you might believe possible. Here is one way you can establish a transforming blended gift to help enhance and continue our mission of evangelization and create your lasting legacy. Say you wanted to support Real Presence Radio at a significant level, $100,000. However, you are only capable of giving $25,000 this year. Here is a way to achieve your objective. Consider a $25,000 cash gift or a gift of stock today and a $75,000 bequest in your will. Blended gifts make your giving go farther. For more information, please call me, Mike Kidrowski, at 701-290-4503 or visit our website at rprlegacy.org. Let's get started and experience the joy of giving.
Let us run to Mary and, as her little children, cast ourselves in her arms with a perfect confidence. St. Francis de Sales. Join together with families across the local area for the Rosary, nightly here on Real Presence Radio. On Wednesday through Monday nights, tune in at 8 p.m. Central, and on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Central. Gather the whole family together and pray this powerful prayer with us. Join us for the Rosary Wednesday through Monday at 8 p.m. and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central here on the RPR Network.